This is Washington Watch Weekly, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Now, here's our host, the president of the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Coming up on this edition, Israel is working hard to build support from Christians and other supporters in the U.S. against the European Union's boycott of Israel. Lori Cardozo-Moore joins me with the latest. And are we at risk of an imperial presidency? Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert weighs in. Also this past week, the FRC radio team was at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee. And I sat down with my good friend, Todd Starnes from FoxNews.com. I'll have that for you a little bit later on the program. By the way, let me remind you to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about all of our guests that will be here with us this weekend. And you can also sign up for my daily update. Keeps you informed on things that are occurring as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. Right there in your email inbox, Monday through Friday. You can sign up again at TonyPerkins.com. Well, according to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, there's a new form of anti-Semitism, boycotts, primarily from the European Union. The boycotts are designed to force Israel to give up more land to the Palestinians. Now, the EU is one of Israel's most important trade partners, and it has the potential to significantly impact Israel's economy. Founder and president of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, Lori Cardozo-Moore, joined me on Tuesday.
Lori, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Well, it's great to be with you. Let me give you the opportunity to tell our listeners a little bit about PJTN and what you're involved in and what you're doing here at NRB.
Absolutely. Well, Proclaiming Justice to the Nations' mission is to educate Christians to stand with our Jewish brethren and defend the state of Israel against the rise of the new anti-Semitism. Of course, at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, we host our annual event. It's the International Christian Prayer and Action event for Israel at the NRB. At this event, we showcase the award-winning programs that we produce with my award-winning husband, Stan Moore. And of course, Sunday night, we premiered our next feature-length documentary, Israel Indivisible, The Case for the Ancient Homeland. That documentary exposes the historical, archaeological, legal, and biblical evidence to prove Israel's rights to the land so we can settle once and for all this issue.
Which ties directly into the boycott issue.
Absolutely. Well, you know what's interesting, Tony, because I look at what's happening with the boycott issue, and it's very reminiscent of what happened in Nazi Germany, except instead of painting flags or painting stars, Magen David stars, on Jewish businesses and calling them and painting Judenrein on their businesses, now it's a global effort to boycott any Israeli business. It's the same effect.
Explain to our listeners, I've gone through it, but it bears repeating, as to what is driving this European boycott.
Well, you know, the Europeans believe that the Jews are occupying Palestinian land. It comes all down to the land issue. That's why the documentary Israel Indivisible is so critically important, especially for Christians to understand. The anti-Semitism that we're facing today is similar to the anti-Semitism of Nazi Germany, but this time it's not just anti-Jewish. This time it's anti-Israel and anti-Zionist as well. But its goal, Tony, is the same as it was in Nazi Germany. It's ultimately to delegitimize the Jewish people by dehumanizing them, by telling them, this land is not your land. You are occupying land that belongs to the Palestinians. And in the film, we set out to correct the understanding of what and the information that's coming out of the Middle East. And of course, it's not a surprise that we see this happening in Europe. We're looking at a post-Christian Europe. And if you go back and look at what happened in Nazi Germany, Germany at the time that Hitler rose to power, and this is what's really scary, this is what disturbs me. Nazi Germany was a Christian before it became Nazified.
Right.
It was a Christian nation.
Right.
It was an educated nation. In fact, we know that people sent their children to universities to be educated in Germany during that time when Hitler came to power. So if it's a Christian nation, it's the nation that gave rise to the birth of the Reformation movement. What happened? How did 6 million Jews and another 5.5 million other people, how could they have been slaughtered under the eyes of watchful Christians? And of course, we know that there were Christians who stood up, people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Martin Niemöller and Corrie ten Boom, but there wasn't enough. And mm-hmm. Tony, today we see a global effort now. It's not just Germany. We see a global effort to delegitimize the Jews' right to the land. And in the scriptures, the Bible is replete with scriptures that that state that the land, God made a covenant with Abraham. He told Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you and your descendants after you. I'm going to make you like the stars of the heavens and the sands on the seashore. And he said, all the land you see, I'm giving it to you and your descendants forever. We are trying to remove one part of that covenant, the land.
Right.
And you can't separate the land from the covenant.
If anything, they've been shorted on the land.
Absolutely.
That they should have. You know, I was over in the West Bank, spent most of my time, well, I should say the eastern part of Israel.
Judea and Samaria.
In Judea and Samaria, in the eastern part of Israel, where we were going into Ariel in particular, where there is this vast expansion of business. I mean, they have this whole industrial area where Jewish businesses are employing Palestinians, giving them a good, stable way of life. And they're living peaceably
right.
together.
That's correct.
And those products that they're producing are what is the target of this boycott.
Right. Ahava, which is one of the companies being affected by the boycott, they employ, the majority of their employees are Palestinians,
mm-hmm.
Arabs.
Right.
And if they push this boycott and ban the use or purchase of Ahava products, it's going to be the Arab population that is going to suffer. And, you know, you bring up such a great point, Tony, because most people never hear the story of the Arabs who live in neighborhoods with Jews.
Absolutely. And get along.
Absolutely. And they work in these communities, and they have they raise their children in these communities. And unfortunately, not only do we see the European nations rising up, but now we see our own administration pushing this agenda. We understand that Kerry has been behind, basically stating that if the boycotts, if Israel doesn't concede and give up the land and accept this peace agreement that Kerry is putting
right.
together, then Kerry's just going to stand by and allow the boycott to happen.
So it's
outrageous that this is happening in the United States of America, Israel's only legitimate ally.
Lori, what can folks do to be heard on this issue and help Israel?
Well, we are getting ready to address the boycott issue, and we are working on some initiatives this year to address it and to expose it and call Christians. We need Christians, first and foremost, to contact their elected officials. They need to call their congressmen and their senators and let them know that the United States policy should be to support and reinforce Israel's right to do business and to protect. And we should be doing, as a government, everything we possibly can to make sure that this boycott doesn't take place.
And I was talking to the Israeli ambassador, Ron Dermer. We were talking about what we should do is actually, if they say boycott, we should boycott.
Absolutely. And that's one of the products that we're ideas that we're going to be working on, is trying to build a website or a contact where people can go to actually purchase the products. In fact, here in Franklin last week, we met with some key leaders about how to do that, to make sure that if they push this boycott, Christians will respond, and we can do it now. We can go and just Google Israeli businesses
right.
in Judea and Samaria or
now,
in Israel.
Now, I will say one place I went in Samaria was to where they have replanted the vines on the hills, and they have these wineries. I don't think I convinced my Baptist friends to buy from the wineries there.
That's Lori, exactly right.
Thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate your insights, and thank you so much for what your ministry is doing.
Thank you, Tony, for having me on the show today.
That was Lori Cardoza Moore. She is the founder and president of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations. To find out more about Lori and her work, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. All right, when we come back, Congressman Louie Gohmert of Texas joins us to answer the question, is America at risk for an imperial presidency? That's next on the weekend edition of Washington Watch.
Forty-one years ago, the Supreme Court gave a woman the right to abort her unborn baby, at any stage, for any reason. Since then, we've lost 56 million little lives. But FRC and our pro-life allies are fighting this injustice. We've been working with Congress, supporting abortion alternatives, and publishing many educational resources. We mourn the loss of life, but we also offer hope and truth. To learn more, visit frc.org/pro-life.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us. Let me encourage you to go to the website, tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about our guests that are appearing on the weekend edition. You can also sign up for my daily update right there at tonyperkins.com. Well, Wednesday, the House Judiciary Committee held a hearing on enforcing the president's constitutional duty, and it got heated at times, to say the least. Now, there are many members in Congress that are worried about the consistent override of the law they see from the Obama administration. And there are even liberal law professors on the outside of Congress that are a bit nervous. Listen to this clip from George Washington University Law School professor Jonathan Turley.
I do want to emphasize one thing, however, in closing. This common article of faith that we have in our system has served us well. The short-term insular victories that are achieved in this term will come with prohibitive cost. I happen to agree with many of those policies, but I do not agree with the means. I believe we are now at a constitutional tipping point in our system. It's a dangerous point for our system to be in, and I believe that your response has to begin before this president leaves office.
Again, that was Jonathan Turley, law professor at George Washington University. Joining me now with his reaction, who was in the committee here yesterday, and obviously a good friend of our Washington Watch audience, a good friend of mine, Congressman Louie Gohmert of Texas's 1st Congressional District. Louie, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Always love talking to you, Tony. Well, and it was a good hearing. You know, Jonathan Turley sometimes... I have a disagreement with him on some issues, but I know the man, though he's a liberal, he cares deeply about the Constitution. He cares a great deal about the balance of power that was finally tuned by the founders. They didn't want a prime minister who was elected by the legislature. They wanted a separate branch for a president who could veto Congress when they got out of line. And they liked having two houses, either one of which could stop the other. They liked the idea of the judiciary, which about the only thing they got wrong, they thought that it would be the least threatening branch because it just didn't have that much power. Well, they've taken power, and we've let them get away with taking tremendous power. And ignoring the Constitution themselves without properly reining them in. But when the president usurps power from Congress, I mean, the checks and balances are there. We can cut off funding, we can call them to account, and we've done that with the Attorney General, and he has thumbed his nose and said, no, I'm not giving you the things you're entitled to see, because he knows that we're not likely to cut off his funding.
Let me read you another quote from Professor Turley. Quote, my view is that the president has in fact exceeded his authority in a way that is creating a destabilizing influence in the three-branch system. I want to emphasize, of course, this problem didn't begin with President Obama. I was critical of his predecessor, President Bush, as well. But the rate at which executive power has been concentrated in our system, it is accelerating. And frankly, I am very alarmed by the implications of that aggregation of power, end quote. Are your colleagues seeing the destabilizing force that is being created by this concentration of power?
Many are definitely seeing it, are definitely concerned. And then we have some who have the Sam Rayburn style of politics here. As Sam Rayburn apparently used to say, the go along, get along. You know, that kind of mentality that we just don't want big controversies. But I'll give you an example, something that Turley was concerned about, and I was concerned about by the Bush administration, that frankly violated the Constitution. It usurped legislative authority. When the White House, when the executive branch created a military tribunal in which to try prisoners, enemy combatants. Well, the Constitution is very clear about that. That's an Article I power that's given to the Congress, not the White House. So in that case, that was taken to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court rightfully struck it down and said, no, it's Congress that has the power to create military tribunals or commissions, not the executive branch. And so the checks and balance worked there. And then the Congress was the one that came forward with the military commission, and that was an appropriate use of power. It was appropriate use of check and balance, and it reigned in the Bush administration when they should have been. But we're not seeing that same kind of thing. I mean, for goodness sakes, the Supreme Court had ample opportunity to rein in all kinds of abuses with Obamacare, and for whatever reason, Chief Justice Roberts wrote an opinion for the majority that made no sense, that was very poorly vetted. But the great thing is the founders gave Congress the power to be that check when the Supreme Court is as pitiful as they were in the Obamacare case. We can rein this in, but we've got to have not only rank and file, but we have to have leaders with the will to do so. There's a lot of things, Tony, we can do that we just have not had the leadership with the will to step forward.
You mentioned Obamacare, and of course the Supreme Court's decision. That was discussed a bit yesterday in the hearing. Elizabeth Price Foley, a law professor at Florida International University College of Law, made reference to the fact that these benevolent suspensions, I'm quoting from her from the Free Beacon, wrote on the hearing yesterday, that these benevolent suspensions, as they get more and more frequent and more aggressive, they're eroding our citizens' respect for the rule of law. We are a country of law and not of men. I mean, I have to think anyone who has an understanding of history and of our system of government has to be concerned how this is undermining the rule of law, which has long-term implications for the country.
Well, absolutely. And for judges to see the White House, the president, this administration, the attorney general charged with being the highest law enforcement officer, just flaunt and ignore the law, it sends a message, particularly to the judicial branch across the country. The federal judges whom are appointed by the president, that message goes out that, gee, I'm ignoring the law, so the law, if it's inconvenient, ignore it. And as I pointed out in the hearing yesterday, there were times as a judge when I didn't necessarily agree with the law or maybe not agree with the range of punishment, but the law was duly passed and signed into law, and so I had an obligation as a judge to follow the law. It was constitutional. And so I sent people to prison under laws, whether I agreed with them or not, because that was the law. And if we're not going to follow the law, if we're going to ignore whatever is inconvenient to us in the executive or legislative branches or judicial branches, then why should anybody have to follow the law?
Exactly.
Well, the
why should
is,
we as citizens?
You have anarchy, and we cannot allow this place to go there.
That was Congressman Louie Gohmert, who represents the 1st Congressional District of Texas. To find out more about Louie or to send him a note of encouragement, go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, when we come back this past week, we were at the National Religious Broadcasters in Nashville, Tennessee, and Todd Starnes, my good friend from FoxNews.com, sat down and we had a conversation. That's coming up next right here on the weekend edition of Washington Watch.
"41 years of Roe v. Wade has cost us big time. 56 million babies have died. Their mothers and fathers have suffered. But did you know that legalized abortion also has quantifiable effects? In fact, it's caused our country a loss of between $70 and $135 billion of economic activity every year. You can't put a price tag on life, but abortion costs us. To find out more, visit Mary.com. www.ca.gov.us/abortion effect.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Hey, let me encourage you to go to the website, tonyperkins.com, and sign up for my daily update if you're not already getting it. Comes to you free of charge Monday through Friday right there in your email inbox and keeps you updated on things that pertains to faith, family, and freedom. Well, as I mentioned, this past week was the annual National Religious Broadcasters Convention. It was held in Nashville, Tennessee, and it's where men and women literally come from all over the world to connect with each other in efforts to reach more people with the good news. And my good friend Todd Starnes, who is no stranger to this program, received the NRB Board of Directors Award for his work spotlighting the attack on religious liberty. Now, Todd also has a new book coming out in May called Godless America. You'll want to find out more about that by going to the website, tonyperkins.com, and follow the links over. And here's my interview with FoxNews.com's Todd Starnes.
You were on a panel today on religious liberty and pretty brisk discussion about what's happening across the nation, which hopefully really should awaken many, not just in the broadcast community, but beyond.
Well, it really was, and it was really the A-team. You know, you had Jay Sekulow there, Janet and Greg Parshall, and Dr. Rafael Cruz, and I was just fascinated. I wished I was in the audience listening. I was just so enraptured by what they were saying, and, you know, here you have Jay Sekulow, who's on the front lines, you know, fighting those wars and in the courtrooms. And I think the message is clear that it's time for pastors to stand up and to do something. And I think that message really hit home when I heard Dr. Cruz tell pastors it was time for them to stand up, stand in the gap, and start getting their church members involved in this fight for religious liberty.
Well, interesting that you should mention that. The survey question that we asked folks across the country was simply, do you agree or disagree that pastors and churches should challenge the Obama administration when religious liberty is threatened? And Todd, as we shared earlier, the results, 61% of Americans across the board in every demographic, when you look at it as a whole, say yes, pastors and churches should challenge this administration.
I'm not really surprised by those numbers, and I think it really it hits home when, you know, there was another survey last week released by Ed Stetzer's group, Lifeway Research, and they found a similar percentage of Americans who believe we are losing the culture war. 11% believe the culture war has already been lost. And then you tie in 70% of pastors who believe that religious liberty is eroding in the country. And I think we're reaching a point in the country where for many Christians, many folks in the pew, the culture war really wasn't impacting them directly. But now we're seeing these attacks on American values in public schools, and we're seeing these things happening not in just New York City and Chicago and Los Angeles, but we're seeing them happen in the smaller towns where these militant organizations have been coming in, the atheist groups coming in, and really trying, not just threatening, but forcing towns and governments to remove Christian icons and things of that nature. So I think it's starting to hit home with a lot of people. And Tony, as we've seen with these rulings involving the bakers and florists and photographers in the wedding industry, they're finding out that that at the end of the day, at this point in history, gay rights are trumping religious rights.
You know, I think in part maybe this whole thing about culture wars is a misnomer in describing as a culture war. It's really taking up your cross. And it is living out your faith. It's deciding that once you pick up that cross, that you're dying to yourself, you're dying to the culture, you're dying to political correctness, and you've set your face like flint upon your calling and your mission. And so I think people say, well, you know what, the culture wars didn't affect me. It's because they hadn't taken up their cross. They haven't. They're not living out their faith in an authentic, real way. And I think it's time for the church, for followers of Jesus Christ, to follow him, to follow his example, and to live out their faith.
And Tony, it's really, boy, I don't mean to stir up a hornet's nest here, but we live in an age now where we have these, for lack of a better term, these boutique churches that specialize in ministering to a certain demographic of the population. And I know because I've seen some of these churches where they tell people, you know what, this church may not be for you. And I'm afraid that when, if in fact that is the case, that we have a number of these growing number of these boutique churches, then perhaps we're not reaching people the way we should with for the gospel of Christ. And look, I can appreciate, and yes, we're supposed to go out there and clothe people and feed people. But you know what? At the end of the day, you can't build those water wells for people in foreign countries if the American government comes in and puts a padlock on the front door of your church.
Absolutely. And we've talked about this quite frequently, that the growing hostility and indifference to religion here at home has led to an increase in persecution abroad. Because if we have this hostility from our own government toward religious freedom here, it's very difficult for us to be a place of refuge for those who are being persecuted or to have a voice to speak out on their behalf.
Because at the end of the day, this is all about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. That's right. What it's about, mm-hmm. Sharing the gospel message.
Todd Starnes, you have a new book that'll be coming out this spring.
Very excited about this. It's called God Less America, and it's a collection of real stories from the front lines of the culture wars, telling the stories of our fellow citizens who are facing persecution. We're going into the classrooms, we're going into church houses, and we're pulling out all those stories and putting them together, compiling them into this book. And if nothing else, this is sort of the, to borrow a phrase from a well-known Christian writer, this is the evidence that's going to demand a verdict. This is the evidence that there is a war on religious liberty in this country. And
not some conspiracy that some in the religious world have said that you're just chasing after these straw men. It's real.
It certainly is. And we have something like, I believe, 25 to 30 pages of citations in this book. Just again, letting people know that these stories are out there, and they're not being covered in the mainstream media. But that doesn't mean they're not happening. And I think people are going to be very surprised when they realize what's been happening in their country over the past 5 years. Of course, we already have endorsements from folks like Sean Hannity, and Governor Mike Huckabee wrote the foreword of the book. And we're really excited. Folks can go to my website, toddstarnes.com, and pre-order the book. It'll be in bookstores in May.
My endorsement's in the mail.
That's awesome. Thanks, Tony.
That was Todd Starnes. To find out more about the work that Todd's doing, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. Also, let me encourage you to go ahead and order a copy of his new book coming out, Godless America. You can find all that at TonyPerkins.com. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for this edition of Washington Watch. I want to thank you so much for being with us on this weekend edition. And let me encourage you to come back again next week. In the meantime, let me leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul. When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, you've prepared, and you've taken your stand, no matter how difficult or challenging it might be, just keep standing.
Washington Watch Weekly is a donor-supported ministry of the Family Research Council.